You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, April 1st, episode 3398, brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
I have good news and bad news for you on this Monday morning. First, the bad. It's Monday. But the good news is really good. Jamie and Glenn are here to guide you through another week filled with horse talk and a whole lot of fun. Welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Good morning, everybody. We hope you had a good holiday weekend. We have a fun show planned for you today. Melissa Kitchen's going to join us to tell us about Equine Network's new nonprofit called the Equine Network Foundation. In Horses in History, we look at the 164th anniversary of the Pony Express. And do we have any question, first of all, problems? I forgot to ask.
Oh, my gosh. These people and their problems. I feel bad for everybody. It's just nonstop.
In the post-show, I'll give you a little update on the progress at the new farm.
Cool.
And it is April Fool's Day, but don't expect anything from us, because Jamie breaks out in hives and in sweats when it comes to April Fool's Day.
God, I logged on the internet this morning. I'm just like, oh, stupid April 1st.
For new listeners, Jamie was in mainstream morning drive radio for 10 years in Atlanta. And there is nothing morning drive radio likes more than April Fool's Day.
Oh, my God. And then just the cheesy, stupid jokes and pranks. And then just like it's just always dangerous sometimes or stupid. Yeah. Is it dangerous or stupid?
Morning drive radio tended to cross the line a lot of times. It would go beyond the line.
Yeah. I was on.
And you were in Atlanta.
Yeah. My first gig was the Steve and Vicky show, which is, they were in their 40s and I was in my early 20s. And they were like, I was brought in to like breathe young life into the show, but they didn't like me or want me there or take any input from me or ever talk to me on this radio show. Cause they were so mad that after 20 years of doing the show, they just some kid put
you
in
were
here.
Forced on them.
I was forced on them and they absolutely hated me. So, but they would do these terrible, stupid pranks. And I would get so embarrassed. People would ask me what I did. I was like, I wait tables. Like, I wouldn't even tell people I was on that show. It was so embarrassing sometimes because of the stupid stuff that they did. And so Glenn was like, first time he was like, April Fool's Day, you coming? I'm like, shut up. I'm not doing it.
We leave it up to Equine Network Horse Nation does the April Fool's stuff.
And
I looked this morning.
What?
They
have gotten in trouble.
Oh,
I saw something from like one of the thoroughbred things. They're like, water races are going to start at Woodbine Racetrack. And they had like pictures of horses swimming. I'm like, oh, shut up. Nobody cares.
So whatever happens today, except on this show, don't believe it.
Listen, I am fairly grumpy. I had a really tough week, so I'm going to try to smile. But as soon as I woke up, I was like, the universe is against me. Why is it April 1st on a Monday?
Deep breath. All right. Let me tell everybody about next week. Equine Affairs coming up next week. I will be there all the days of it. So you can look for me at booth 207 in the Bricker Building. We have our own booth this year. And we'll be recording Horses in the Morning, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with Allison, who does our Equine Affair episode. I'll be doing those with her. We'll have a ton of guests like we always do, kind of Twitter style. Bunch of guests right in a row. So we'll be doing that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So you got some bonus content coming to you a week from Friday. And then also on Thursday, April 11th at 6:30, Julie Stoltz will be hosting a meetup at the Cheesecake Factory in Polaris for our listeners. And I will link to it in the Facebook invite in the show notes. So just go to the show notes and you'll see the invite. We need to have a response about whether you're coming or not, because we'll need to make a reservation at Cheesecake Factory, one of my favorite restaurants in the whole world.
Of course. The menu is like 47 pages long. You can get anything.
I just read an article over the weekend about how they can do that and why they ended up with a menu that was 250 items.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. I was just listening to the Nate Bargatze podcast, and he said that they were like, if you could only eat at one restaurant for the rest of your life, which one would it be? And they were like, Cheesecake Factory, because you can get anything.
Yep, right, anything, and then the desserts are wonderful. So. So yeah, we'll be meeting there on Thursday, April 11th at 6:30. If you're in for Equine Affair and want to join us, please do. We'll be happy to see you there. And thank you to our auditor, Julie, for putting that together. Oh, I forgot the Daily Winnie part.
Okay.
It's Monday. April Fools.
April Fools. We forgot it. There you go. There's your prank.
We do have some auditors with birthdays. Hannah Barker, Jennifer Pig, and April Kamek. Happy birthday to all of you. Well, of course, you know April very well.
I do. And my cousin Diane's birthday is today, and Zenyatta's birthday is today. So happy birthday to all you April 1st babies.
The horse or?
The horse.
Oh, okay. Just
the actual horse.
Just checking. There's been a few Zenyattas in our life.
Well, just to continue my salty nature, I came home yesterday, or I got home Saturday night from spending time with my mom down in Florida. And I came home and Chad was like, what do you want to do tomorrow? And I was like, horses. Only thing I want to do is horses. And he had just gotten home from a trip too. So he was like, okay, cool. We won't go anywhere. And so I didn't participate in any family Easter activities. I just said horses. Like, that's it. That's all I'm doing. And so I get a text, like a group family, extended family text from Chad's father. And it's like, hey, everybody, we just want to see your like cool Easter pictures of all of you, you know. And so like my sister-in-law sends one of their family like dressed up for church, and they all look like they're a supermodel, you know, dressed. And then my other family, and I'm because everybody is like texting these like beautiful pictures of their families standing, you know, underneath like signs, he has risen, and all of these beautiful elaborate setups. And you look on Facebook and it was all these setups. And so I sent a picture to my father-in-law of our Easter. And as I got that text, I just happened to be tacking up Taco, and Lucas and Chad were in the barn, and I was like, family selfie with Taco.
That's a cute picture. Can I use that for the show notes, by the way?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So that is, it was a very, I don't know.
It was so it you just, guys.
It was just very us, but it was also just kind of like a, no, this is my day. Today is my day. I have Eastered enough over the past week. I am done with family. I'm just going to sit here with my horse or my pony in this case. But I rode every horse yesterday. I was like, I'll be in the barn.
And you can't walk this morning.
I can't. I'm so sore. But Chad came down to the barn and he was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm just tacking up, getting ready for my first ride. He was like, you've been down here for 2 hours. What have you been doing? Nothing. Nothing. I've been doing nothing. I've fed and I've been listening to them chew. Okay. This is what I've done this morning. I'm breathing this smell of the barn. Y'all understand, you know, when you have a bad day, like, what do you want to do? You just want to go be near a horse. That's all. It's all it requires. And I definitely left with my heart, you know, fuller yesterday. So that's what we do. I ride my therapist every day, whatever.
Difference between Chad's family and our family, Jennifer's side, is you got a picture of the people, you know, all looking pretty. We got a picture of the table full of food. No people in it, just the table full of food with a note saying you missed it. So that's what we got.
I wouldn't say I missed it, but I missed it. You're right.
Well, the Pony Express is celebrating 164 years this week, and I wanted to just talk to you a little bit about
it. Is this your Horses in History segment?
It is.
Okay.
Is.
Love it.
So April 3rd, 1860 to October 26th, 1861 is when the Pony Express ran. The Pony Express is infamous, right? I mean, everybody knows from little kids to senior citizens what the Pony Express was. It only ran for 14 months.
That's crazy.
It's just crazy that something that was so short a part of history, right before the Civil War, actually, it's so remembered. I mean, it's incredible. But it ran from Missouri to California. And what it was the gold rush was happening in California. And the Civil War was starting to break out. And they needed to get communication quicker to the West Coast. So they came up with this idea.
There was no trains then,
No trains then. This was pre-trains. So they came up with this idea to have riders do very fast jaunts, from Missouri to California to run the mail.
Missouri, by the way.
Okay. Is that how they say it out west? Okay.
Missouri.
All right. So the population of California in 1860, by the way, was 380,000. Can you imagine? It's like, what, 20 million?
Buy land and relatives.
Yeah. And most of those people were looking for gold, right?
Yeah.
So what they did is they came up with the Pony Express, and riders covered approximately 2,000 miles in 10 days. And it reduced the time for messages traveling between the East and West coasts. And they often covered 70 to 100 miles per day, and they would change horses about every 25 to 50 miles at relay stations along the route. So they'd have these barns set. It's kind of like relay race, or it's kind of like the Mongol Derby is today, where you go in and you pick a new horse and you get off and you transfer your bags and you go ride.
So it was the same rider. It was not just different horses?
Different horses. Same rider would do about 70 to 100 miles per day. Right. Correct.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, your butt was tired by the time you got there. Not to mention there were Native Americans that weren't too happy you were riding through their territories. There were a lot of things going on. And weather and all, and you were going over the mountains. So there was that. So each rider carried a bag. You probably can say it in Spanish better than I can say it in English. Mochila. I think it's mochila, actually. And it was a saddlebag designed to hold mail, and it had multiple compartments in it, and it was the first mail truck, okay?
Mochila.
All right, there you go. So they would carry this bag, which had the mail in it, and then they would go to California. They'd drop their mail off and turn around and head back. And so this was a round trip. Only happened, as I said, for 14 months. And what put it out of business, why it only happened for 14 months, was the telegraph was invented. And they, by that point that the Pony Express ended, they had run telegraph wire all the way to California. So that's why it only lasted the short period of time. There were some famous riders, though. William Buffalo Bill Cody. Yes, Buffalo Bill of the Wild West fame. He worked for the Pony Express for a while.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that till today either. Johnny Fry was the first rider to depart from St. Joseph, Missouri, in April 3rd, 1860. Pony Bob Haslam covered an astounding 380 miles in 36 hours during a blizzard.
I quit.
I don't think you're paid enough to do this job. And then Charlie Cliff was a legendary rider who once rode through Apache territory after being shot and had a bullet wound and continued riding. And
the mail must go through.
Maybe that's where that statement started, was with old Charlie who had been shot probably along the way. I don't know. But there you go. It was such a small period of history, but yet everybody knows, and it's still celebrated today. And they're this week. They're doing the Pony Express ride where a bunch of people get together and do the ride.
I had some friends in Arizona that participated. And you all line up where you're supposed to line up and you go. You pass the bag.
Yeah, well, there you go. And I think a lot of people just do portions of it, you know, because there'll be 100 people at times. And they'll just do a portion of it as it's coming through their territory. It's kind of like the Olympic flame.
Yeah, just like that.
So anyway, that is the Pony Express and celebrating 164 years this week. You know what we also celebrate is our sponsors, and Worm Flooring is one of our terrific sponsors. You know, they do your floor and make it safe and waterproof and everything for your horses, but they also do your roofs, do the same thing. They will put a coating on your roofs that makes it waterproof. It's a silicone-based coating that creates a barrier against heat and wet. It seals your roof to stop leaks before they start, and it reflects nearly 90% of the nasty UV rays. We are definitely, by the way, getting this this done before summer here in Florida. Hopefully, they say it'll keep your trailer up to 60 degrees cooler. You can also have this done on shed roofs and barn roofs and things like that as well. And it's supposed to do the same thing. It'll keep it watertight and also reflect some of the heat from the sun. And we were at your house when it was 103 degrees last time we were there. The entire time we were there, it was like 103, 105 degrees. It gets hot in Oklahoma. So ditch the duct tape and buckets and invest in a long-lasting peace of mind with Seal and Chill. It's applied to by pros for a flawless finish, and it costs $7.50 per square foot. So check it out today. Go to wormflooring.com to find a dealer near you. And we thank them for their continued support.
Yeah, they're awesome. I would like to also mention one of the things I did yesterday was to have a conference call with Debbie Laux, and we were talking about the movement. It's June 14th through 16th at Flag Is Up Farm, and I just want you guys, it's going to be so cool. So kind of like the tentative, what we're talking about, I don't know if I'm supposed to say, but whatever, we're talking about Mustangs, like doing the gentling wild horses and then kind of like showing a fast forwarded version a couple weeks and maybe doing like a first ride on them and stuff, a couple that have been handled for a couple weeks. So we're coming up with a lot of stuff. There's going to be a PSF Sweden bridle fitter coming, and
it's going to mix it up a little, huh?
Yeah. And there's going to be an artist who has famously photographed all the Sable Island horses, and there's going to be an art show. Like, it's going to be awesome. And then lots of horse training. So the movement, put it on your calendars, June 14th through the 16th. It's a heck of a lot of fun, and it's really cool. Jared's going to do another concert, Glenn.
Oh, really? Yeah, he's coming back.
Yeah, he's coming back. So June 14th to the 16th, they're designing the website now. Y'all just get a heads up.
Head start. Yeah, very good. Well, we're going to talk with Melissa. She is with Equine Network, and she is the one that has been leading the charge to found the Equine Network Foundation. Well, hi, Melissa. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Glenn. It's great to talk with you.
I haven't talked to you in a while. I used to talk to you every day, and now I haven't talked to you in a while. You've been too busy doing these new things.
I know, and you're ghosting me.
I'm ghosting you. Okay. All right.
Busted.
All right. Tell us, what is the Equine Network Foundation?
Well, it's a new initiative that we started at the Equine Network to just kind of bring goodness to the horse industry, right? Like,
well, we all need that.
I know, right? And we all love horses so much. So I'm really excited about it, but we really want to just advocate for horses and the industry and the people that love them wherever they need them, you know, any place that's needed.
So how's that going to look?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, right? First part of it is a home for every horse. It's a program that we've been involved in. We started, 12 years ago, I think. And we've never had it be a nonprofit or a 501c3. And we found that limiting in the ways we could help rescues. So that's our first program. We're going to do multiple programs within the Equine Network Foundation, but that's our first one. And what we're really going to focus on this first year. Be able to offer more support to the rescues and the rescue horses across the country.
Do you know how you're going to pick the rescues, or is it a general support thing, or will there be individual ones highlighted?
All of the above. Okay. So rescues can apply to, they just have to sign up to be a member of a home for every horse. And usually we have about 440 rescues per year across the country. And now it's a combined application with the United Horse Coalition. So if a rescue goes on to the UHC site and just updates their information for the year or submits an application, now starting this year, a home for every horse pays that application fee for them. And then there's a checkbox and they answer like 3 or 4 additional questions and say, yeah, I want to be part of a home for every horse also. Wow. So that qualifies them for things like free feed, weather-beater blankets, all that kind of stuff. And any one of our programs. But then we're going to have different grant opportunities and things where it's like, okay, I don't know, you know, you need a barn built. Okay, we'll you can apply for a grant to help offset that cost.
Could maybe potentially somebody associated with this apply for a grant for a covered arena? I mean, I'm just throwing that out there.
Jamie might help out a rescue to retrain thoroughbreds. Yeah.
I have told the Right Horse Initiative, I'm like, listen, I can train so many more if I had a covered arena or a covered round pin. Life, I would fill.
Now I know why Jamie was excited you were coming on. It was
like, no, I didn't even know. This is awesome.
That's funny. So I love this idea. Now, are you guys going to be able to help in a way to get the word out about individual horses that are for adoption, or is it a much broader initiative than that?
No, we will. We've long had equine.com. It's been a mess for a while, admittedly. It's in redevelopment right now, and every rescue that's in our program will be able to list their horses for free, and it will work because it hadn't worked for a little while.
Okay.
But we promote we'll pull the horses from from that site for our newsletters and different things and just say, hey, here's some that are adopted. We also want to put in some programs to bring awareness to just the horse loving public. Like, here's opportunities to get involved, whether it's volunteer or adopt or, you know, anything like that. So yeah, definitely there'll be some resources to get the individual horses moved.
Well, and of course, you know, one of our other initiatives is My New Horse. It kind of ties into that, right?
Right horse.
Yeah.
Right. No, the yep. My New Horse Initiative.
My New Horse.
Yeah, yeah. So it kind of ties into that, educating new people on
oh, yeah, horse. That's right. That's true. This is great. So you could partner them up like, hey, here's your new horse, and here's all about your new horse.
Yeah, right. You know, it's so important for people to know, here's what's involved in getting a horse. You know, it's not just adopting it or buying it. Like, that's often the easiest part. It's what happens next.
Yeah.
That's also absolutely the cheapest part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the biggest education is learning actually what it costs after you get one. That's the thing we all learn the hard way.
Yeah. Costs on your heart, cost in your wallet, all the things.
Yeah, it's true. So it's equinenetworkfoundation.org. That's the website. It's new website looks great, by the way. So congratulations on that. And keep us informed as you're going down the line and, you know, as more and more things get integrated into it. And we'll chat about it here in the show.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. We've got tons of stuff coming, so I look forward to letting the world know.
And we like talking about individual horses that are up for adoption, too. Jamie's had pretty good success with that here on the show. What are you up to now? 160 or 70?
I think I've started 160 at this point. Restarted 160 off the track thoroughbreds and the
word.
Yeah, it's awesome. I absolutely love it.
And but listeners, again, I don't even know how many listeners have adopted them. I mean, it's been a lot.
Oh yeah, we've sent horses to all the way to Rhode Island, Idaho, California, Florida, and we're all in Oklahoma. And so it's been really successful. So I think that there is definitely a place for all these horses. There's people that want these horses. They just need to learn about them and understand, you know, and get an honest assessment of these horses. And people are willing to adopt across the countryside unseen. And it's going great. So I do think that this is an important initiative and something that we could all, you know, get behind. I think it's important.
Yeah, we should talk offline about your program. I'd love to hear more.
Cool.
And her need for an indoor arena.
I could have done 250.
She could triple that easily. Melissa, thanks for joining us.
We need a covered arena and more time. Absolutely, Glenn. Jamie, it's been great to talk with you.
All right, appreciate it.
10 years younger, too, if you could do that, that'd be great.
Oh, I'll work on that. I'll put that in the program.
We'll see you, Melissa.
Thanks. Have a great day.
All right, bye.
Still working
it
on that indoor.
So God, but you know, like, I think too, like, okay, I got certified for this training, you know, Mondi Roberts training at 40, which is like an amazing accomplishment to like kind of change your entire life at 40. And I was embarrassed about it for a while until people were like, that's actually really awesome. And I was like, oh, I guess it is kind of cool. But I just felt old. But then, you know, now I've got my own farm and I've got all these connections with training horses, and I've got all this, and dear God, why do I have to be so old? Why didn't I do this when I was 20? You know, because you can't afford a farm when you're 20. Why didn't I have rich parents who like own a big farm?
Try being 60 and thinking the same thing.
Jeez. I mean, we're all marching towards death.
I have all these things I still want to do, and it's like, oh, you know what? I better get to it.
Yeah, you better get to it. I told you got to make a list of things you want to do. Got to get to it. Want to see the Northern Lights, but I don't want to be cold. Figure that one out.
All right, let's. Why don't you tell everybody about Cosequin, and then we'll talk about the 11 things all horsewomen have in common.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this. Cosequin ASU joint and hoof pellets contain quality ingredients to support joint and hoof health and leave out the fillers, molasses, and alfalfa, all while delivering the taste horses love. The colors of their ingredients shine through for a difference you can see. Visit CosequinEquine.com.
This was an article that was on Horse Nation written a while back from Kristen, one of our hosts here on Retired Racehorse Radio. And I always loved her articles, and she did the 11 things all horsewomen have in common.
Okay.
And I like number one because it applies to me. I'm putting myself in the horsewoman category today. The first one is calluses. We were working, she says, from digging post holes to mucking stalls to everything in between. We were up at the barn over the weekend, and we were working on building the tack room inside the metal-built structure, right? So we were putting the posts in, and that's great in Florida when you hit the sandy part, but we were smart, and we had about 6 to 8 inches of hard pack put on top of the sand to put the building on, which you're supposed to do. But then when you put the post in, you got to dig through that. It's like concrete. So I have calluses today is what I'm saying. How's your calluses? Your calluses after yesterday are on your butt. That's where your calluses are.
Yeah, well, it's the second you mentioned calluses, so I'm not looking at this list, but the second you mentioned calluses, we all have those manure fork calluses on our right underneath the bottom of our fingers. So I my hand immediately went to feel my calluses there. So yeah,
that's it happens. True.
I mean, I don't have any foot calluses because I get pedicures like every 5 days. So
this next one, we see it here in Florida. Okay. We see it when y'all come down to the World Equestrian Center, and that's a farmer's tan.
Oh.
When horse people show up in Florida and put on their bathing suit at the beach, you definitely know they're a horse or they're a farmer, whether it's a horse person or a regular farmer, you know, a farmer.
You should see, to be completely honest, there's one person who has a worse tan lines than horse people, golfers. My husband takes his shirt off and I'm like, oh my God, like his neck is black. And I'm like, you have to put on sunscreen. He's like, I did. I swear, you know, and then they wear like a glove on one hand when they golf, you know?
Oh, that's right.
It's like a Michael Jackson kind of thing. Like, one tan hand, one white hand. It's ridiculous. And like they have the collared shirt. So like they have a very distinct line of a tan line, like a little slightly at the nape of the neck. Oh, it's ridiculous. I'm like, you're ridiculous. And the sock tan, tiny little socks, and they were shorts. And so they're like tan from just above their knee to their ankle. And everything is stark white.
Yeah, we get to really see that in Florida when y'all come to the beach and burn to death the first day you're on the beach.
That is true. I may resemble that remark.
By the way, speaking of Florida, this is a little off the topic, but I read this article this morning and I had to tell you about it after all the Florida man stories you do on Wednesdays. So there was a huge migration into Florida after COVID, during COVID and after COVID. Apparently about half those people after 2 years have left. And the article talked to all these people who said they were lied to about moving to Florida, that actually there's a high cost of living, the summer stinks and it's really too hot, and they listed all these things that are wrong with Florida, and we were like, what'd you expect? Like, you aren't going to be on vacation the entire time you lived here?
You mean you had to, like, work and
buy things? You had to work and drive in traffic and, you know, pay for rent.
Florida summers are hot? What?
Well, I know. So a bunch of them have left. Apparently about half the people that moved here after COVID have now left again, which I'm not too unhappy about, to be honest. Number three on this list of 11 things all horsewomen have in common. Horses come first. Well, yeah, we talked about that on Horse Husbands episode last week with one of our guests.
Oh, really?
Yeah, about how horses come first, and that's the reason that he made it this long. You know, that's probably true with golfers the other way, though, too, isn't it? If your husband golfs, he's not going to give up golf for you.
He's not going to give it up, but there's times where I'm like, not today, Satan. No.
like horses, golf takes forever. It's a 6 hour thing in your day.
It's a day. It's like going to a horse show.
Yep.
And there's just some days where I'm like, you're not leaving. for 6 hours.
Golf is one of those. I think boats are too, because you can't just go out and go boating for a half an hour unless you live on the lake, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I love the next one, routine oriented. We are a routine bunch, starting our day off the same way every morning and finishing it up the same way every night has a poetry to it. Cleaning the stalls, feeding in a certain time. Jennifer, you can imagine. You know Jennifer pretty well. She is obsessive. When we have the horses at home, she's obsessive about doing things the same way every day and at the same times.
I will tell you that there are many nights where I'm like, I'm just crawling into bed. I'm getting all comfy. And I'm like, I didn't lock up the chickens. I have to run down to go lock up the dang
chickens.
Your
barn isn't like 2 feet from the house either.
No, it's not.
Your barn is further from the house than most I've ever seen, actually.
Listen, rub it in. This was
not
my design.
Did you plan it that way?
No, I planned to have the barn right next to the house.
Oh.
And our builder was like, you know, this is a really nice site back here.
It is a nice place where it is. I will give him that.
Well, when they built it this far, I was like, all right. Well, if you're going to put my house that far from the barn, I want a fully enclosed vehicle to drive from the barn to the house. And that still has not happened.
Well, you have a pickup truck for that.
The pickup truck is parked down by the barn, by the horse trailers. Okay?
Our new house, by the way, is going to be...
I meant like a fully enclosed golf cart or something. You know?
Yeah,
like,
there you go. I can send you one of those from the Villages. They have all kinds of cool ones.
That'd be great.
We ship that over. Our new house is going to be 50 feet from the barn. It's like right there.
Yeah.
Eccentric. Horse people in general are notorious for being eccentric. We are a little loony. I mean, who looks at a 1,200-pound animal and thinks, oh, no, sir, you are not the boss of me? We do. So eccentric's a good word. You know, the way you keep the barn, the way you keep the car, the way you don't keep the house, all those things are a little eccentric.
I think you're being a jerk.
It's a little too close to home.
You just
there.
Called all of the listeners to this show messy and crazy.
No, I didn't. Kristen did. I'm just reading the article.
Oh, okay. You're just reading the article. Gotcha. Suck it, Kristen.
I love this one. We had this for the whole conversation about this in the auto room over the weekend. Cars are really an extension of the barn, which means you put all your crap in it. That's what that means. Saddles, water bottles, dirty boots, bags of grain, bales of hay.
What are cars for? They're cars.
Well, they're supposed to be nice, clean modes of transportation.
Well, you know, my husband, bless his heart, 14 years. So how many years have we been married? Yeah, like 14, 15 years of marriage. He cleans my car because he's like, I just can't take it.
I just can't take it.
And I'm like, great. Good. Thank you.
I do the same thing. I can't take it either. They're profoundly independent. I do think that horse girls grow up to be independent. You have to be, right, to be a horse person. You're independent.
It's a great trait to have. I mean, this is not a knock. Like, I think the independent – like, Chattel, do you need me to come down? I'm like, no, I don't need you to do anything.
It'd be nice if you'd visit.
Yeah, I mean, I like having you down there. I really enjoy when you're down there, but I don't need you down there. I mean, yeah, again, put out a round bill. I need you for that. That'd be great. Yeah, there's a dead gopher in the trap. If you could get that, I need you for that. But like, otherwise, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good for spiders, apparently, is what I'm good for.
Oh, man. Yeah. I had Chad get a bug yesterday. And we have this little suck-up thing that one of our listeners sent us. Like, you push it in and you plunge it and it sucks the bug up. I was like, get it. Get the bug. Get the sucker.
Not afraid of hard work. This one is so true. And I had a perfect example of this the other day when we picked up hay. So we were picking up hay. And down here, the hay stores are enormous because we have million horse people. And you can't keep hay. You can't keep large quantities of hay here over the summer. It just molts, right? So you're always getting hay in smaller batches. Well, this lady who had to be, I mean, 75 years old or 80 even, she was old. And she pulls in with her little trailer behind her pickup truck and they help load the hay. But I think she wanted to load. I just watched this from inside the truck as Jennifer was paying. They load the hay for you, but I think she wanted to load it a specific way. Maybe it's easier for her to take it out. She loaded that whole trailer, must have been 30 bales by herself, slinging those bales around. There's nothing tougher than a horse woman.
Go back to number 7
independent. And particular. And eccentric. That goes back to all of those.
All of these. She was what this article was written about.
I wish I could. I had the guts to sneak a video because it was incredible. And I knew. I was going to say, I should have offered to get out and help. And that would have been a wrong thing to do because that woman was not going to take help.
She don't need your help.
That's what it would have been. I would have insulted her. I mean, she wasn't even letting the help. So, typically disheveled. Well, I think disheveled's an underestimation of what it really is. You're typically
gross. I
think
I am more disheveled when I come into my house and I take all my binding clothes off. Husband, I don't understand how you still like me. I will go to the barn in my like nice riding pants, my May Babes, you know, and I got a cute shirt on, I got a sports bra, and I've got like, I'm nice. And then, when I come back up, I'm filthy and smelly, and I take all that off. I get in the shower, get out of the shower, and then I put on my, what I call my homeless people clothes.
Your quote-unquote pajamas?
My quote-unquote pajamas, which may or may not be like tie-dyed pants with like a gray t-shirt, you know, or hoodie. I look more disheveled out of the barn than I do in the barn.
We had a term we used for when the kids used to come in the house after being in the barn all day, and it was SPM. It's an acronym.
Yeah, I like it. What is it?
What is it? Snot, poop, and mud. They were covered with SPM, snot, poop, and mud. That was the term we used, SPM.
Did you put on your SPM today?
Well, you used to put on your SPM clothes because you didn't want other clothes. You got to keep your good clothes. Not that we actually had any because they all get covered in SPM eventually.
No, but there's a – like, and that's what I don't think Chad understands is like there's piles in my bedroom of clothes for a reason. Like these are the like – only worn once, then you've got the like 4 day old, but like I can still get another wear out of that, you know, like you
especially
have, like,
the jeans.
Well, and I'm not gonna wash my riding pants every time. He's like, well, maybe you could put them like away. I was like, but they're dirty. I'm not putting them with my clean pants.
I wonder if this is an argument with every horse person couple.
This is what I tell him. I'm like, listen, if you think it is hard to be around me, you should try being me. It is way harder.
Now, Jennifer is the opposite of you. She will wear them once in the barn, that's it. She will not wear them again, and she drops them off at the washer and dryer. I mean, they don't even they don't even come in the laundry basket.
You're so lucky.
Yeah, I know. She doesn't. I'm the one that, like, I only wear these jeans 3 times. I can wear them again.
Yeah.
They're not dirty yet.
Just change your panties.
Yeah, that's right. The last one. Busy, busy, busy. Horse people are always busy because most horse people are working. They're trying to get to the barn after work, or if you have the horses at home, you're coming home and you're doing the barn before work. You're getting cleaned up for work. You're coming home. You're doing the barn after work. If you're lucky, this time of year, you finally have time to ride because it's staying light again. I mean, you're busy and you don't have time for your horse husband. Most of the time, you don't have time for your kids and you don't have time for a social life.
It's
not to mention farriers, injuries, all that other stuff. Fences breaking.
You have not painted a very pretty picture.
No, Kristen has not painted a very pretty picture.
Kristen has not painted a very pretty picture. I will say, going back to the earlier conversation, I wouldn't change a thing. I just feel better when I'm in the barn. So,
no, and I think that's true of all of us, right?
And your partner hopefully understands that.
Well, they're not around if they don't.
Exactly. They don't stick around. But I mean, that's the thing is like, sometimes Chad will be like, you need to go ride. And I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. 10-4, picking up what you're putting down. Got it.
Yeah, I do that. I might have done that in the last week or two, told Jennifer to just go to the barn. Just leave the house.
Just go.
Go to the barn.
Just go. It's almost like it could be offensive, but you're kind of right.
It's our safe way of saying get the hell out.
Yeah, get out. Just get out.
I have something we haven't done in a long time.
What's that?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
I used to work in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Downtown, we had our financial offices right on the square in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It's actually a nice office building, and the square is really cute. And one thing Lancaster had was a lot of police horses. So the police horses used to hang out really below my window in my office. So we used to see the police horses all the time. Well, police in New Mexico had all the horsepower they needed to chase down a shoplifter that was detained outside of Walgreens. So this shoplifter walks into Walgreens, shoplifts a whole bunch of stuff. Walgreens calls the police. Well, guess what happened to be standing right outside the Walgreens? Was a policeman on his horse. Well, the shoplifter saw that, took off running, and the police horse took off. By the way, there's a video of this. The police horse took off chasing him down and caught up to him within seconds. Well, what was also around there, apparently Albuquerque has a lot of police officers on horseback because two others arrived at the same time and he found himself arrested by three policemen on horses. Does that an Albuquerque thing or what? I mean,
I love it.
That's so Albuquerque.
I can't believe he ran. Usually people see the horses and they just go, oh, give up, you know.
Well, they think they can dodge in and out and weave in and out and the horses can't, you know. And the people, I don't think, really realize how fast the horses go. I did see a couple of chases in the city when I was working there. And let me tell you what, there's nothing more imposing than a policeman on a horseback galloping down the street, weaving in and out of traffic and on the sidewalk. That's wow. Pretty impressive. I don't know how they did it and didn't die. I really don't. But they would weave in and out of traffic. And can you imagine you're driving your car down the street and this horse comes and cuts in front of you? That's going to get your attention.
Yeah, your brakes are good.
They caught him every time. So anyway, he has been arrested for stealing $230 worth of merchandise from the Walgreens. And I think Albuquerque is where Ashley's moving to, actually.
That is.
Yeah. So a lot of police horses there in Albuquerque. Our loser of the week.
We don't do loser of the week as much because now we have weird news.
Right.
And it's a culmination of losers of the week, typically.
That's true. That is true. But I had to do that one on a Monday because I forgot to send it to you. And I would never.
I love it. Right. I love it. Well, hey, before we get to equestrian first world problems, attention horse owners, are you looking to help your horse recover with ease after a strenuous workout? Would you like to nourish your horse and their digestive system? If so, try the new Purina Replenimash product. It's much more than a mash. Replenimash promotes hydration, replenishes electrolytes, and supports gastric comfort. Put Purina's research to the test. Stop into your local Purina retailer and grab a bag of Purina Replenimash product.
Recharge your training program with Equestrian Plus. Equestrian Plus brings together the top riders, trainers, and professionals onto one video platform. Watch over 5,000 how-to training videos, clinic and event footage, exclusive training sessions, and more, featuring top experts including 5-time dressage Olympian Stefan Peters, International Grand Prix dressage competitor Anna Baffini, Olympic dressage team bronze medalist Laura Graves, and many more. Join Equestrian Plus now and use promo code HRN15 for 15% off your first month. Visit equestrianplus.com to subscribe.
It's time for the weekly look at your equestrian first world problems.
This ought to be good.
There was a lot. There was a lot this week. I posted like late Sunday night, and by the time I woke up this morning, there's a lot of problems. So I'll get through as many as I can before Glenn makes me stop. So
let's explain real quick for new listeners. The question first world problems are posted in our auditor room. That's our super fans. You can become an auditor by going to horsesinthemorning.com and just click on the auditor banner there. And for as little as $3 a month, you can join that party and help support the hosts here. And these are, you know, problems, first world problems. That's what they're meant to be.
They're first world equestrian problems. Because remember, if you have an equestrian problem, it is a first world problem. Mel says today, the weather was absolutely beautiful and would have been perfect to practice loading in my new trailer. But I like had to go to the zoo with my family instead. See, Easter just crushed everybody. Leslie says, for the first time this year, I have our pickup back and hooked up to the trailer, and I'm going to go almost 3 hours away early tomorrow morning to get animals. But they're goats, for my daughter. I just want a new horse.
Speaking of a question, first of all, problem along that line. Yesterday, our grass is growing so tall here in Florida already that we have to mow at the new farm. Well, our tractor came with a bush hog, which we took off, and that was a mistake. Getting a bush hog back on a tractor when they're brand new and everything's tight is just a nightmare.
It's a nightmare when it's not.
Oh, tight. It is? Okay, good. Because it's been 20 years since I put a bush hog on a tractor. It must have taken us an hour and a half to get that damn thing right.
Did you get it?
Yes, we got it. And I'm not taking it off the entire summer. That thing is not coming off the tractor.
It is like a deep-seated fear of mine that Chad is going to lose a finger doing it.
Okay, it's not just me. I felt like a fool because we used to put them on and off all the time, but that was 20 years ago.
Oh my God, I'm terrified. Any tractor implements, I mean, I'm afraid of the tractor in general. Y'all know that. But like the tractor implements put out, he's like, hold this. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. I don't want to watch you lose a finger.
It took us about an hour to get the PTO shaft on. And finally, Jennifer just was getting so mad. She got WD-40 and sprayed everything with WD-40. It went right on. It's like it was already greased. It had grease on it. But I don't know.
Worked smarter.
It worked. Yeah.
Amy says, this is, I'm really getting in this right now. I'm trying to figure out what to do, Amy, as well. She says, we all have to say Rolex Land Rover Defender Kentucky. That event, for anyone knows what we mean, it just takes too much breath. I'm like, I will say that to Chad. I'm like, well, you know, I've got the room for Rolex Land Rover, wait, Defender, just Kentucky. And it's a lot of breath. I get it. I'm with you, Amy. Emily says, I have...
And by the time we got used to saying Land Rover, they changed it to Defender, which is a form of Land Rover. I don't get it.
I know. But then like you say Kentucky, but then like we say Kentucky for a lot of other things too. So I don't...
Like it is a state. Yeah.
It is a state after all. Emily says, I have too many breeches, so I told myself that I can't buy any more. But then May Babes came out with the most beautiful new color and I just had to get a pair. Plus there was a great deal. So it's like they were free. I didn't know that they had a new color. So thanks, Emily Parmenter, because now I'm going to have to go on and buy some of Emily's new color breeches.
And by the way, May Babes was started by one of our auditors and it's maybabesthebrand.com. Free plug.
There you go. Shelly says, when there are a bunch of hunter paces coming up at your barn that your barn is going to, but I'm a dressage queen and now I've spent so much time trying to convince my horse that trail rides are meant to be relaxing and not a gallop fest. And now I don't know whether it's a good idea to go because I may or may not give my horse the wrong impression about trail rides.
Oh, go. Your horse will figure it out.
Come on, DQ. Pony
up. Let's go. Get out there on the trail. Do those obstacles.
Oh, you'll love this one because you and my husband started this. Kimberly says, I'm not sure if it's an equestrian first world problem or just a horses in the morning problem, but I made the mistake of telling my husband about Masters of the Air after hearing Glenn and Chad talk about it, and I don't watch it, but I now get a complete retelling of the show after it's over.
I tried to watch it, but we don't get Apple, so I have to wait till I subscribe to Apple again.
How? You have to get Apple because you have to watch Masters of the Air is like totally in your vein. And then you have to watch, what's it called? Ted Lasso.
I know. I just haven't subscribed yet.
Oh, what are you doing? Ted Lasso is like the greatest show in like 10 years. Okay. Mary says, I'm retired and I can ride whenever I want when the weather looks optimal. But none of my friends are retired. Allison says, well, today was warm and sunny and I thought I should ride Casey. And so I grabbed my saddle and my bridle and I picked a brand new saddle pad from a new pad collection and I cut the tag off and I said out loud to no one, I guess I need a new pad now.
You two are spirit animals.
I love it. Jennifer says, my family kindly agreed to celebrate Easter on Saturday night so that I could spend the whole day Sunday working in my barn. And I planned on riding after chores were done. But by the time we finished stalls, fed, brought everyone in, and I cleaned up my mud on my four mud-covered ponies, I was too tired to bother with saddles. So I just hopped on two of my horses bareback, and now I can't walk.
What family agrees to that?
The same way. They're cool. That's a thing.
Like, I know. I'm just thinking. I don't think I've ever heard that before.
My family would never agree to that. No. That's why, like, I just didn't show up. I was like, no. It's just a no.
I got a picture of the food.
I was just watching an interview with Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, the twins, the equestrians, and they learned really early on that And this is what they told their sister, the sheep. Elizabeth Olsen says this all the time, that no is a complete sentence. No is a complete sentence. And they learned that being child actors when they were told to do so. No. And I was like, I love that. I don't know if I'm like tough enough to just say no as a sentence, but like I did yesterday. I was like, no, thank you. No. I don't even have to say thank you. Just no. Anyway, sorry. No is a complete sentence. Learn something new today.
There's our meme of the day. No is a complete sentence.
No is a complete sentence. So I walked into my stepsister's house for Easter dinner. And this is so something that would happen in my family. I love it. Laurie says, so I walked into my stepsister's house for Easter dinner and her new dog starts barking at me. And my stepmother promptly says, well, that's understandable because you do smell like a horse. I mean, what do you even say? I had already showered and I wasn't even
wearing
any.
That goes back to our previous discussion.
So I have two, I'll give you guys this story. I have two sister-in-laws and one is a doctor and one, I have two sister-in-laws and one, my friend Larissa, when I'm talking to her about my sister-in-law, she'll say, is it the doctor or bathrobe? And I'll be like, oh, this one was bathrobe. So bathrobe is my sister-in-law who, you know, those carrots coach jackets, like they're plaid and they go all the way down. They have like magnets. You can ride in them in magnets. It is the is my favorite coat. And this one had like the animal art on the back, animals to wear. It is just my favorite piece of clothing that I own. Right. And so I go and it was like, and it's great for like wind and rain and you get that here. And I had to go to a family function dinner and I had on my carrots jacket and it's like, you know, bright blue and green plaid. It's so pretty with the horse painted on the back. And I walk into their house and she goes, did you come to dinner in your bathrobe? I'm telling you, I have never been more insulted in my life.
Those aren't cheap coats either.
No, it's not a cheap coat. And it was an anniversary gift from my husband. And I mean, I almost like went over the table to grab her. Like, you're so rude. That is so rude. Like,
you can insult a horse person 100 different ways and they don't care, but insult their clothing they just spent $300 on.
Oh my God. It's like my favorite piece. Anyway, so that is why she's now known as, I have a sister-in-law who's a doctor and sister-in-law who's a bathrobe. And she doesn't know that, but she doesn't listen to the show. So there's no worries. No worries.
We better move on now.
I don't care. Don't cut that out, Glenn. I know you always cut stuff out when I get a little salty and talk trash about people, but she's not going to hear it. And nobody in my family listens. So it's
no, funny. It was too funny. I got to leave it in.
Y'all, just so you know, I will go back and listen to the show and like things will be missing.
I learned a long time ago, you don't tell Jamie when you cut something out that she says that might be a little offensive. You just cut it out and move on.
Cut it out. Like, I was like, I want to listen to how that came out. Oh, it's not there. Okay, cool. Don't cut that out, you guys.
Well, see, okay. For a long time, she would never, ever, ever go back and listen to the show at all, ever. Not to check on anything, never. But now she's getting braver and now I'm getting caught.
Well, now Lucas wants to hear it. Like he is all of a sudden, he's like, he loves weird news. He just wants to hear weird news all the time. And he's like, can you put on like the best podcast? And I'm like, what is that? He's like, it's yours.
Like, he's such a suck up.
I love it. Suck up.
You better get used to it. What is he like? 11?
He's 10. So I've three only more years. 2 years left. Yeah. Mom, turn it off. Nan says, I'm starting a new job in a week and I can't spend the next few days with my horse because my husband's taking me to Maui. Shut up, Nan.
Yeah, anyway. There's first world problems and then there's annoying first world problems.
I mean, seriously, we're going to get another one of those too. Adrian says, I finally got to ride Friday after almost a year of either bad weather or lameness. And my mare was absolutely perfect. And I'm so sore. All right. And then finally, we'll end with Nicole. I'm off on a 16-day European vacation, traveling the world and seeing amazing things. But I'm like super behind on Hidden Podcasts.
She's been posting her pictures. I'm a friend with her on Facebook. We met her actually at the roadshow in Kentucky. So she has been posting the most amazing. She's having the most amazing trip. I didn't know it was 16 days, though.
Oh, my God. Well, I got to give you Paige's, too. Paige says, I was planning on riding Ernie after church. And as soon as I got changed, I ate lunch. See, all these people with Easter just ruined your days. That's your horse. Sorry, I'm going to hell. I was planning on lunging and riding my horse Ernie after church. And as soon as I got changed, I ate lunch and I zipped up my tall boots. And it started raining and didn't stop until after dark.
There you go.
We all need just covered arenas. You'd have been fine.
That was just the universe saying you need to take the day off.
That's what it was. None for you today.
Yeah, that's right.
I will give you Stephanie's last one. After hearing about Total Comfort Saddle, TCS, on Horses in the Morning, I joined their Facebook group. And after seeing everyone's testimonials, I am obsessed with getting one. But I can't decide which one to get. Brown would obviously be like the most practical because it matches everything else I have. But if I could get a synthetic black, and then it would match all my saddle pads, and then I'd have to buy all the other black tacks. I'm like, I don't know what to do. This is how we live, Glenn. This is our head the all
torment.
The time. It's so hard being us.
On that note. On that note, tomorrow we have the American Horse Council episode for you. Mary Kitzmiller later in the week, and Jamie and I will be here Wednesday and Friday as well. And hang around. We'll just do a short post-show. I just give everybody an update on how things are going, trying to get our house out at the farm.
Everybody. Almost spay time for Winks.
Is it already?
I know, she's almost 6 months.
Wow. We need a current picture.